The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
I am a full-fledged addict, and I don't care. Let's talk about it. Good morning. It's the Dana Cortez Show. I am Dana Cortez.
You and I both. DJ Automatic.
Up by Anthony A.
Yeah. I'm addicted to caffeine and auto. I know you are, too.
Yeah. So yesterday, I was flying, and I went to the airport super early because, you know, TSA, everybody's like, the lines are going to be...
Get there early!
You're going to be in line for 4 hours. Well, I got there early, and there was nobody in line. So I walked...
Oh,
I walked right in, yeah. And there was ICE agents there, which was different. That was the only thing that was pretty different about it. But I was in a position, like, or I was going out of a gate, that there's no coffee in that area. And I was like, how do you have a place inside the airport with no coffee? So I literally walked a mile to go get myself a mocha.
Oh, I'm an addict, whoa. I agree. I agree with you. I would have been right there beside. I would have been in a bad mood until we got there.
Luckily, I had plenty of time because I was there so early.
Yeah, 2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours.
Don't they give you free coffee on the airplane?
You're crazy if you drink that coffee.
So a good friend of ours works for the airline, and he said, don't ever drink water unless it's in a can or bottle, and never, ever, ever order the coffee. I don't know what's in it.
That's all he said, and I've never had the coffee since.
Yeah. Since then, if it's not bottled,
I don't
or
do
in
the
can,
tea. I don't do anything. Like yesterday, I was like, I will take a can of water.
Yeah.
And she was like, a can? Do you need a cup? I was like, nope. Just a can.
Just give me the can. Have you ever tasted canned water? It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm a liquid death guy. So, liquid death is like the canned water.
Yeah.
They have that at a lot of comedy clubs. So, yeah, I do that a lot too. It is a weird, interesting texture to get the water. The aluminum can is always interesting.
Anthony, I like it. It has an aluminum flavor to it.
I like
it. Call me crazy. I don't want it in a cup. I want to drink it right out of the can. Yeah.
And that's from drinking water from the hose.
That must be water hose.
Well,
yeah, takes me back.
I'm not gonna call you. I'm not gonna call you crazy for your flashbacks and thoughts of water hose water. But I will call you crazy for openly admitting that you're addicted to caffeine.
I can't help it. I don't care. I don't even care. If I don't have my coffee in the morning, it is going to be a bad day for everybody around me. I need my caffeine. No, and I will say, though, I have added a little bit of decaf to our cafecito so to wean us off somewhat.
Because you think that really helps? You think that your little...
As much coffee as I put in there?
Your one scoop of coffee...
It's two scoops. I put two scoops of decaf in there. Okay?
Maybe that helps. I don't know.
My alignment to my intake of coffee directly correlates to the amount of hours I hang out with you guys.
Thanks, Anthony. Thanks. All right. What do we have for National Day?
All right. We will start with National Tater Day.
Love me some taters. I'll take a potato with a side of potatoes.
Otto, you're the only person I know that will order mashed potatoes with a side of fries. I'm like, what are you doing?
I can dip the French fry in the mashed potatoes.
Too much starch. You need a
there
green.
There we go.
It's the Irish in me.
Automatic. It's it's nice with a French fry, but have you tried it with a potato wedge?
Oh
no!
It's talking dirty now.
It's totally it's for all bit, that dirty talk.
Ooh, it's a little bit more of a girthy scoop. I love it. But all right, we'll wrap it up on something else that gets me a little naughty. It's International Taco Day.
Oh, come
that might be
on.
My two favorite foods right there. If I could put potatoes inside of a taco, come on.
Okay, so I will admit I do love a good homemade flour tortilla with papas inside, potatoes inside, bacon,
green chili.
Green chile, salsa, a little bit of cheese. Let's go!
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Okay, what's your favorite fast food order? And you know what I mean. You know, you pull up and you know the number exactly how you like it. Share it with us. 877-730-DCS1. America's favorite fast food combo, according to CBS, is a Chick-fil-A spicy sandwich.
No Chick-fil-A sauce?
With McDonald's fries. Washed down with a Dairy Queen milkshake.
Dairy Queen closes in 10 minutes.
Let's go.
You can't get America's favorite meal at one place?
No, not according to the people surveyed.
I love it. I love it. You know, I love it. I love this non-binary form of comboing meals up together.
Me too.
Like, let's keep it fluid. Let's get a little mixing and a little matching.
Let's go.
I like this. I like this, dude.
How much would that cost to Uber Eats all that, though? Jeez.
We're not Uber eating it, Otto. First of all, it's fast food. We need to get out and go get it instead of sitting down.
With the price of gas and going to all three of those places, it's going to be expensive.
Might be cheaper to Uber Eats it.
I did not expect you to be such a Debbie Downer when it comes to talking about fast food.
Yeah.
What's going on here? What is this?
Well, it's because none of those places are my favorite place. I want you all to put some respect on Taco Bell because they are the greatest fast food place to ever exist.
I don't know if they're the greatest ever, but
what's better than Taco Bell?
Whataburger. Hold on. Number eight. Okay, I believe that's the double junior burger combo. Add cheese, no onion, slap some bacon on there, extra pickles, two whole jalapenos on the side. What a size it with a chocolate shake. And two spicy ketchups.
That's Dana's Whataburger order right there.
And I eat every single bit of it. And you know how long it takes me to eat, Anthony? Otto has to sit there in the restaurant and watch me.
It's like we're there for at least an hour.
Every single time.
Take like a full 7 business days to finish a water-sized water shake. Oh, my God.
No, we take the shake. I can never finish the shake.
I always have to finish the shake for him. He polishes
it off for me.
I love me some Whataburger. My only gripe with Whataburger sometimes is it takes forever, depending on the time you go.
Because they're cooking it fresh. It is not sitting there.
I respect it. Sometimes I need to be in and out that thing, is what I'm saying. But I respect it nevertheless. Now, if you guys are asking me to unlock the most girthiest fast food menu I could ever do, I'm going to go to this deluxe spot called Wiener Schnitzel.
Wiener Schnitzel.
That Wiener Schnitzel?
Oh my God.
I don't know what that chili's made of, but I don't want to ask questions.
Let me take a phone call. I love Wiener Schnitzel too. I swear to you, Otto during radio meetings, I would eat like 3 at a time. Hi, good
I haven't
morning.
Had a Wiener Schnitzel since I was like 8.
Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. What's your name?
Samantha.
Samantha, what's your favorite fast food order, mama?
So it's the patty melt from Whataburger with some fries and a buffalo sauce for the fries.
Oh.
Yes!
I like your style.
Dirty girl. Okay.
Now, do you have it memorized? Even if it's late at night and you're coming home from, like, I don't know, a lounge or something, you could pull in and you know exactly what you want.
Yes, and my husband knows it's my go-to. So, yeah, anybody, if I tell them I want Whataburger, they know what to get me.
Okay, I have to ask you this, Samantha. Do you have an order at Big Bucks Coffee, too? Do you go to the Big Bucks? You know what coffee place I'm talking about. Do you go there for coffee every once in a while?
No, I actually don't like coffee.
Oh, Samantha! I was going to tell you, when Otto orders a coffee, he'll call me because he doesn't know his order. What do I get, Dana? I swear, I'm like, what do you mean, what do I get?
I'll be going through the drive-thru or I'll be at the counter and I'm just like, I hold the phone up and I say, tell him what I want, Dana.
He literally does that to me. Samantha, what is your husband's order? Do you know it?
He goes for the chicken strip.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
They do have good chicken strips.
Oh, you know what I love best from Whataburger? Not best, I love everything. But when I do order a chicken strip basket, the white gravy... Honey, baby, the sausage gravy is so good.
I feel like we're spending a lot of time on Whataburger when, in all reality, Taco Bell's still the best thing that there is when it comes to fast food.
Settle down.
You want to hear? So the only gripe I have with Taco Bell, though, is my original order has always been the Supreme Soft Taco Meal Deals, where I get a Mountain Dew with that, a chicken quesadilla, and then I get a bean burrito and a hard shell Supreme Taco, and I make my own double-decker because they don't sell double-deckers anymore.
You and all the other Taco Bell weirdos fighting for the double-decker, you were taking entirely too much time on this.
I'm telling you, it used to only cost me like $10, and now it's like $25 when I go to Taco
Bell.
Welcome
to the world of inflation, sir, okay?
Oh, what in the Baja Blast is going on?
What is your go-to fast food order? Call us up, 877-730-DCS1.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
A meteorite smashed through a house doing 35,000 miles per hour. This space rock smashed through 2 stories. It landed in a kitchen. No one was injured. And KPRC actually caught up with the homeowner. Her name is Sherry James.
I heard a big bang, and I didn't know what it was. First thing I thought, something fell in my daughter's room. 20 minutes later, a fireman come back, and then he says that a meteor did come over North Houston somewhere, and that it exploded, and pieces, fragments went out. And he said it probably is a meteorite. Oh, that was the first thing come to mind, so I was excited. So I'm a big sci-fi nut, and I was like, this is definitely something I want to keep.
So she wants to keep it. It's the size of, like, if you're, you know, a grown man, it could probably definitely fit in the palm of your hand, a little bit larger than a baseball. These are extremely rare because normally when meteorites enter the atmosphere, they disintegrate, right? We get hit all the time. Well, not all the time, but every year with meteorite showers and various meteorites, but they just turn to dust because of the atmosphere. This one, it's so big, it's estimated the value is $1 million.
That can cover the cost for the hole in the roof and the floor. That was the first thing I thought. I was like, man, does insurance cover meteorite showers?
Oh, no, you got to call God on that one. Hey, God, look what you did.
I mean, it's cool and all that.
It damage.
Yeah, exactly. Right? It's cool and all that it hit my house, but I have to fix it.
I would sell that so fast. $1 million. I'm putting that up. When finding these kind of things, that size, first of all, that's incredible. That is a rarity. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But my uncle, my Theo Frankie, used to take me walking around at Comanche Trail Park. That is a state park. It's a park in Big Spring, Texas. And it's called Big Spring because that's where the Comanches would go. There's a giant spring there. Otto, I've taken you.
Yep.
It's a beautiful park, yeah. So we would go looking for fossils. It used to be, I don't know, there's like a lot of sand there, so I'm assuming there was a lot of ocean in that area. We would constantly find different fossils. I don't know if they're worth anything. And I mean, he had a giant bucket full of petrified wood. I loved looking for petrified wood. Yeah, because I don't find that. You don't find that everywhere.
When I was a kid, my grandma, she lived on the lake, and she would actually take us around the lake. We'd walk around, and we would look for arrowheads because the natives would go to, obviously, and they had set up camp around those lakes. And so we'd find all kinds of rare arrowheads. And so my brother and I, we've always been into rocks ever since then.
Aww.
And he actually, in New Mexico, found an arrowhead. It's worth a lot of money, but he donated it to a museum so they would have it. And it was a great thing for him to do something like that. I probably would have got paid for it, but he was like, you know, what am I going to do with this? They need it more than I do, so he donated it.
I think the woman, she's a sci-fi buff, but I mean, $1 million can change your life. I'd sell it.
Yeah, I would sell it while you can, because life isn't a Joe Dirt movie. So get rid of it while you can, sister.
Oh my God.
I forgot about Joe Dirt.
No way I'd ever sell you, meteor. Not in a million years.
Shout out Joe Dirt, dude. Yeah.
That's the best meteorite story of all time.
The movie Joe Dirt. It's a man that's traveling. He can't find his parents, and he finds a meteorite. It becomes his best friend, and it turns out it was the excrement from an airplane. You know how they release it? And he'd been wheeling it around in a wagon, and it was his best friend. He even ate off of it.
I remember the French fries.
Oh, my gosh, girl, sell that meteorite. All right, we'll be right back after this.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
How many push-ups can you do? Push-ups determine how healthy you are.
According to who?
Men's Health Magazine and the doctor who works for them and wrote this article. And I just did 32 push-ups and I even filmed it to prove it. And it took me 7 minutes to catch my breath after because I hadn't done them in so long. I used to do 100 a day. Now, not at the same time, but I would do 30, 30, 30, and then 10 just to wrap things up. And I was like, not the best shape in my life, but pretty darn good shape. And now I'm dying with 32. Like I have little flats on, so they're slipping. So I was really like, I'm going to fall on my face.
So what does doing all those push-ups say about your health, though?
It's good for your heart. So 0 to 10 means you're below average. Sorry. But you got to start somewhere. If you can only do 0 to 10, try. If you can do 11 to 20 push-ups, you're average. If you do 21 to 39, which is where I fall in, it's above average. But if you can do 40 plus in a row, that is excellent. Push-ups determine how healthy your heart is. Remember in school, you could do like 100. You just do whatever, yeah. You know, you could do pull-ups and push-ups, you know?
You remember in PE, you would have the push-up test day, and then you would do sit-ups, and then you'd have to do pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think you would do a race. There was a lot of things you did, but
who remembers climbing that rope in gym?
Oh. I failed miserably at that.
Yeah, I never did good on pull-ups. I've never been able to really do pull-ups my whole life. When I was in my best peak physical condition, I could still only maybe do like 2 or 3. But pull-ups are something I've always been self-conscious about too, because even on a superficial level, I feel like when the ladies see you struggling to do a pull-up, it's not a good look at all.
Especially when your legs are going all crazy. You know, when you're doing your legs like a spider trying to help
struggling.
Yourself.
Well, have you ever seen like a marshmallow when it has toothpicks in it?
Yes.
That's kind of like my body type. I just got these really like long dangly arms and then like this really thick torso, so I just look like a hanging piece of like like a pollo loco, little chicken breast hanging on
Anthony,
a pull-up bar.
It is
so
not like
not the best
that.
Look.
Oh my gosh, come on.
Yeah, you're right. I'm more of like a chicharrón.
A little bit. No, you're not. When we talked about being on the playground, the pull-ups, we used to play a game where you wrap your legs around people, try to knock them down. What was that called? I can't remember. I was really good at it.
Yeah, and then some kid that was like 3'4" and weighed 79 pounds would kill everybody. That was me. I hated that costume.
That was me.
Oh, yeah, when you have Chicken Wars, yeah.
Chicken Wars. I could not remember the name. I was the Chicken War champ. I was the Chicken War champ and the Tetherball champ. Me and Napoleon Dynamite.
I was going to say, you paint this picture of yourself that is not so enticing as a child.
Otto, it is. I am who I am, okay, sir? I am who I am, and I'm not ashamed to admit that's who I am.
I'm glad we didn't meet in elementary school.
Me too. Me too. So you're going to go home today. You're going to do some push-ups. You're going to report back to us, okay? How many can you do? Or do them right now. Nobody's looking. 877-730-DCS1. You want me to share the article? Tap in at Dana Cortez on Instagram. We'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
It's been a minute now since Tiger Woods had his, third DUI, crawled out of the vehicle. Why won't he hire a driver? I know. But first, let's hear from these guys. They're on a show called PTI on ESPN, speaking on Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods is a magical figure in golf and in all of sports. Yeah. And the sad thing for both of us here, you and I, is we are not surprised. For all of his greatness, he seems star-crossed in many ways. His marriage, his injuries, his pain. And I wonder if there is emotional pain as well.
So we have to go way back in time. He referenced Tiger Woods' marriage. A long time ago, he was married to a woman named Elin, and they had two beautiful children, and they appeared to have this amazing, perfect family. And, you know, Tiger Woods is the guy that everybody loved.
One of the most revered athletes of all time.
Of all time.
He made golf cool. But back to the ESPN announcer talking about his marriage. I mean, Tiger Woods cheated on his wife and had to apologize in front of the world.
I want to say to each of you simply and directly, I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior. People want to know how I could have done these things to my wife, Elin, and to my children. Elin and I have started the process of discussing the damage caused by my behavior. Wow. As Elin pointed out to me, my real apology to her will not come in the form of words. It will come from my behavior over time.
And after those private discussions, she left him.
Mm.
I don't think that she could handle whatever it was he had going on. It turned out he'd had multiple affairs. It wasn't just one woman. It was several women. You know, Tiger Woods isn't drinking. He's obviously has an addiction problem. He was in rehab for a short amount of time, but
I think it all goes back to all the surgeries he's had. Yeah, he's had 15 surgeries, a lot of back surgeries. And I think like a lot of people who've had multiple surgeries, he's addicted to pills.
Well, why doesn't he just get a driver? I found out
this morning because he doesn't want anybody watching what he does, hearing who he talks to, and that he doesn't want anybody to know about his personal life. But, you know, he's addicted to these pills, and it's hard to quit that kind of addiction. And who around him is going to tell him to stop anyway?
Nobody was hurt, and it's a stupid thing. It's a very idiotic thing. So as much empathy I do and sadness I do have for him, I'm like, dog, this is dumb already. Like, what are you doing?
Thank you, Anthony.
But it's like what Dana said. Forward. When somebody has a pill addiction like that, you can't get through to them. I've lived it. I went through it with my dad.
Talk to it. I understand and respect to your father, and I understand that, but that's a different scenario, bro. Dana said he doesn't want to have a driver because he doesn't want somebody listening to him. Like, dog, nobody cares about you that much.
Okay, hold on. We have Kelly on line one. Kelly, you had some thoughts on this Tiger Woods conversation. Go ahead, girl.
Okay, so I lived in Palm Beach, and I interacted with Tiger Woods many times. His daughter and my daughter played on the Palm Beach soccer team together.
Oh, wow.
I heard someone say, one of you guys say that he doesn't matter anymore. Did you know when his kids were in high school, he went to Benjamin High School in West Palm Beach, they have security guards because those children get so many death threats. It's insane. Insane. Like, yeah, he's wrong in doing what he did. It's crazy.
Do you feel because you know him,
I don't know him, right? I just have had many interactions with him Like, I've had shared many beers with him on, like, a friendly level, like right. a parent. Super, super nice
But I feel
guy.
Like you feel badly for him. Like, he's just a human
yeah.
guy, and we're putting him on this pedestal. But I want to say, Kelly, it doesn't matter if you're famous or not. This kind of thing is, this is scary. What if he would have hurt somebody?
Yeah, you're right. He should have not got behind the wheel. But, I mean, like, his life is, you know, it's a different lifestyle than anyone, right? I mean, like, look, Sam, his daughter, I mean, she spent the night at my house before. Mm. You know, the security guard had to sleep in my friggin' driveway.
Oh, my gosh.
What? Why would anybody want to do that?
Because people are crazy, that's Anthony. Crazy. You know, people are fanatical.
Because he has a ton of money. A ton of money. Those kids went to school every single day with a bodyguard. Every single day.
Listen, you know what, guys? I feel bad. Tiger Woods, if you're listening, I'll be your driver. That's it. That's what we'll do. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we can never pay what Tiger Woods pays. If you get that gig, good luck, okay?
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.